How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Join 105.7 The Fan at the 57th Annual Towson Town Spring Festival, hosted by the Towson Chamber of Commerce, Inc. and the Towson Main Street Collaborative on Saturday, May 2nd from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Sunday, May 3rd from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. The festival will feature a great lineup of local gourmet food trucks and vendors showcasing and selling art, jewelry, handmade products, and other unique treasures. The Towson Town Spring Festival is family-friendly and includes a range of entertainment, from live music to dance performances, rides and games, and beer garden.
From the Anderson Automotive Studios, this is WJZFM, Catonsville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Joe LaCroix.
The Orioles battled to a split on Thursday afternoon, taking 1 of 2 in their doubleheader against the Astros. The Birds' bats were alive in Game 1, with Adley Rutschman and Jeremiah Jackson both hitting grand slams, guiding the O's to a 10-3 victory. Unfortunately, not the same outcome in Game 2, as Houston drubbed the Birds 11-5. The Astros jumped all over spot starter Brandon Young. He'd give up 5 runs in the first inning, with the O's defense offering him 0 help. Young would exit after 4 with 10 total runs surrendered, though just 7 were earned. But again, the defense letting the O's down in a game that could have netted them a winning record in April if they got the dub. Here's skipper Craig Albernaz with his response when asked about the fielding on Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, to me it's just consistency. I think anyone that watched the first game, I would say our defense was pretty good, if not really good. The second game was just ugly. Like, that's unacceptable. It was a doubleheader. It's tough to win one game in the big leagues, never mind 2 on the same day, but we didn't give ourselves a chance to win this game.
The 15 and 16 O's now hit the road. They're in New York tonight, opening up a 4-game set with the Yankees. And the fan will get you prepped for this evening's series opener with Baltimore Baseball Tonight, presented by Jerry's Home Services, beginning at 6 p.m. First pitch is just after 7. Your Friday forecast from the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center. Mostly sunny skies, highs in the mid-60s. I'm Joe LaCroix, Ravens, Terps, and you're home for the most Orioles coverage. We are 105.7 The Fan.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
It's an even 400, and that number might go up. Deep left center field, Matthews charging back, makes the catch, and crashes into the fence. But did he have the ball? No, he lost it on the way down. Fly ball into left field. Get Alvarez at the wall. Time to face the wings of death. Diaz to left field. A hanging slider into the gap. He'll hold at first. Walker goes to third. It's a 4-run, 4th inning. Masayo can't pick this one. And he has no chance of getting the speeding Shoemake. Another wild pitch in the inning makes it 11-3.
Kevin Brown on the call there, and as you could tell listening to the highlights, the first couple of cuts, very exciting.
Yes.
Oh, my God, he made this incredible catch. No, and it was a hell of an effort by the center fielder from the Astros, Matthews, because he had the ball in his glove. And then when the arm kind of hit the wall, it dropped out, and Adley Rutschman hits a grand slam. Jeremiah Jackson hit one later in the game. And I actually went down when we got off the air here at 2. I met family and friends into section 274, which is the club level. Mm. They had some pretty cool seats, actually. I walk in, Jackson hits the grand slam after navigating traffic down 83 and Cathedral and Lombard and Green, et cetera, et cetera. Chris Bassett was brilliant. Mm-hmm. Bullpen solid enough. Kobe Mayo. Third to first, come on, get it over there. And as Bordy told us, what, yesterday, loses his athleticism because of his length. He just doesn't sit into his throws. I mean, throwing a ball, whatever it is, even a frisbee, I mean, you got to kind of sit into it. And he stands tall and tries to electric football it, and we know how that works out. But either way, led to a couple of unearned runs. So the Orioles win the opener 10-3. And in the nightcap, with a chance to get over 500, coming into May 1st, which today is, they get it clobbered. And you heard Albie during Joe LaCroix's update there. Craig Albert has the Orioles manager talking about how defense basically sucked.
Oh, yeah.
Unacceptable. And he ain't wrong in a lot of areas. And we were talking with Jeremy Vinny before the show, Jeremy Kahn, Big Bad Morning Show. Even if it's not rolling an error in the scorebook, misplays, mental errors. I mean, O'Neal in right field.
That's when I texted you.
Yeah, it was just, come on, dude. And Jackson, Jeremiah, who's been tremendous this season. But with the glove, that's kind of been his thing. I mean, what's his real position? Does he have a defensive spot? He's filled in admirably for Jackson Holliday, who, by the way, is still in the young stages of his career. He's not exactly Robbie Alomar at second base himself. But the defense, whether we keep talking about the outfield defense, rightfully so. The infield defense isn't all that great either. I mean, Alonso right now has been inch for inch, pound for pound, their best defensive player in the infield. He made a hell of a play in game one, diving down the line to take a double. So the defense did him in game two, and McCullers was kind of just toying with him. Brandon Young, he got lit up. He didn't do himself any favors. He let a lot of stuff over the middle of the plate, and the Astros are taking advantage of it. So we just get to the Orioles where they sit right now, a game below 500 on May 1st going to New York. They kind of are what they are. They're just they're a team that in flashes shows you the potential for how good they can be. But then the inconsistencies rise up and show you what they maybe really are. Bassett was great. Yeah. Orioles needed it. Outstanding. But Brandon Young, after a couple of standout performances, and remember his last start, the Orioles hit so many home runs, they ran out of fireworks. So he benefited from run support, but I don't know. Looks like Povich will go today. It hasn't officially been announced, I don't think. But he's in New York with the team because, you know, Kramer's gone. Rogers, who was supposed to start, Trevor, he's on the IL with the flu. I don't know. The rotation is scuffling because of injuries and inconsistencies. Was Brandon Young's first two starts, were they the illusion? And yesterday was more reality. And when Povich throws, and he threw well in his two outings this year, I mean, he got rocked in his last start at Norfolk, if I'm not mistaken. So, I don't know. I mean, is the good Orioles team going to eventually emerge, or is the inconsistent, shaky defense Orioles team kind of going to be their MO this year?
My biggest concern is, Bob, you know, and Albie talked about we're inconsistent. And, okay, the inconsistencies. But the problem that I see, Bob, is your outfield is your outfield. You know, I mean, your cast of characters is pretty much your cast of characters.
Sure.
So why is the inconsistency going to change? Because you're going to be throwing those same dudes out there. And, like, I think Nolan, there's no savior coming in, you know, from the outfield unless they make a trade at some point, you know, in July. But otherwise, Ward is a liability. Muscles is a liability. Beavers is a liability. You know, Tavares is the sure thing.
Yep.
And, you know, and Couser's not bad, but he can't hit.
Can't get on base.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the big inconsistency.
Yeah, and Bradfield, who is their best prospect defensively, he's banged up right now. Actually got hurt running into the wall, chasing down a fly ball. But you worry about him. Can he get on base enough to be an asset offensively, which goes back to something we've talked about 1,000 times. Hey, well, Gunner's doing his thing, and Adley's doing his thing, which he is. Basayo had a rough day, 0-for-5, 4Ks in game two. But Jackson's been a standout offensive performer. They've had Alonso. He walked a couple times, scored two runs. Same with Ward, who gets on. Ward gets on base every game.
Yes, he does.
Pretty much. But I don't know. Is that offense sustainable? So the Orioles sit here below 500, and they're a mediocre team in a mediocre in American League. And Nolan, you can get in here. Today's May 1st, and I went there for the first time. Wild card standings.
No.
And the Orioles are a half game out of the wild card. Because everyone else is outside of the Yankees, Rays.
Period.
In the American League? Yeah. I mean, it's a wild, wild west out there. So someone's going to have to separate themselves. Teams will address weaknesses. And, you know, can the Orioles get it together? I mean, Kramer will be back 2 months. Eflin's done. Rodgers has the flu, so he'll probably miss two starts. Westberg, okay, whatever. Jackson Holliday, let's not diminish. Remember, 4 years ago, he's the first pick in the draft.
Yep.
Get him in here in some capacity to help the team. But I don't know. Nolan, what do you think? We're May 1st. We're a game below 500. Going to New York, taking on the Yankees, who have been doing some brilliant things. Will Warren's on the hill tonight. He's been outstanding for them. I don't know, man. I don't bet against the Orioles, but if I was doing like a parlay, a couple team parlay, the Yankees would be one of the teams I'd be taking tonight. But I would never bet against the Orioles, ever.
Never? No circumstance? None?
If I had, if it was a 99.9% chance I'd win $10 billion, hell yeah.
Well, the way I see it, they're where they need to be at the minimum, right? They haven't taken themselves out of it, right? You mentioned they're only a half game back in the wild card standings. These next couple weeks, really this entire stretch before they hit their next off day on May the 14th, it'll be very telling. The Yankees, and they get them twice in that span, are the toughest test. You know, Marlins, Athletics on paper. It's kind of like the White Sox series earlier this year. It's kind of like the lesser competition, even coming in against the Astros, knowing they were playing bad. Those are series that you expect, like, oh, we got to show up and play well there. That hasn't been a guarantee for the Orioles this year. I'm not guaranteeing anything that they're going to have victories in those series. But to go this long, to be in this bad of shape with your pitching staff, to run the gauntlet here, to get the best of the AL East twice in that span, come out of this stretch, talk to me on May 14th. I think then, that's the day. We'll have a clear picture of what this team actually is. Because I'm with you. I'm tired of kicking the can down the road. I want to know, too. But it is still, it's hard to say right now.
After the Cleveland series, where they lost three out of four, they had these stretch of games against last place teams. Kansas City, they won two out of three. Boston, they lost two out of three, and Boston bleeped Kander manager during that series. And then they took two out of three against Houston. So they kind of sort of handled, you know what I mean? It is what it is. They're a mediocre ball club. You know, you take two out of three from Boston, you're going into May 1st today with an above 500 record. But they just can't seem, they haven't won three in a row since they took two from San Francisco in the opener against Arizona, where they came from 7-1 down to win. And that was, you know, half a month ago.
But so, is it like this otherworldly feeling being 16-15 instead of 15-16?
Not really.
Like, all right, we're above 500. Yeah, it's cool. Like, I mean, they're right there. You know, I don't think the, and I honestly, like, flip the results of yesterday. Get blown out in game one, win in dramatic blowout fashion in game two. What's the mood today? Is it the same? Probably for the most part, but I feel like you had that sour taste left in our mouths after the way game two went.
Yeah, so they haven't been in a long losing skid. They've had 2 3-game losing streaks. As I said, they've had 2 3-game winning streaks. I mean, they're like, let's go to the Webster's Dictionary. Mediocre. It's a picture of the Orioles right now. And a lot of other teams in the American League. But either way, you're going up to New York, taking on the Yankees, who have been on fire this year. Yankees just took two out of three from the Astros. They did lose the finale, but they're back home. Aaron Judge crushes Oriole pitching. It is what it is. Stanton's hurt, so we'll get into all of that as the show rolls on. Yeah. So we'll get into that. But you want to talk about the Orioles. It's May 1st. They're below 500. Your impressions of the team through the first month plus of this season. And this news broke as we transition to the Ravens towards the end of your segment.
Mm-hmm.
Calais Campbell's back. And Jeff Zerbe anticipating it's the same deal no particulars yet. What do you say with Arizona? Year 5.5 mil, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. What it,
again?
Yeah,
no, nobody really knows, but that's the anticipation.
Yeah, it's a 1 year deal.
Yeah,
know that, you know. And I, you know what, Bob, I for the locker room and for the coach, because he's a leader, he's a cheerleader, he'll be a teacher for young guys, you know, like he and not he knows everybody, you know, that have been here for a while. So I think that's a good, and Jesse Minter knows him, you know, also for being here at the same time.
Yeah, and he's still a productive player.
Well, he's been damn good, yeah. Year. And the Ravens have tried the last 2 years to get him.
Yeah, he'll be 40 as the season begins, but Calais Campbell's back. We're going to get into the depth chart of this 2026 Ravens team post-draft and the acquisition, reacquisition, if you will, of Calais Campbell. So we'll get into that. Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner, joining us top of the hour. Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com, 11:30. Talk about the series that was against Houston. Preview the road trip that starts in New York tonight for the Orioles. Anything else you want to get into? You got Stanley Cup playoffs. You got the NBA playoff. There were some series that ended in both sports last night. You got the Kentucky Derbies tomorrow. You got any betting tips? Cliffy gave us one yesterday from White Marsh. But there's no overwhelming favorite. Old Bobster needs some coin. Give us a betting tip for the Derby. 410-583-1057 is the number. It's Featured Artist Friday. Let's jam here on The Fan.
The teams you grew up with.
Ravens are world champions.
Are the ones you still love today. 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, everyone. It's Bob Haney here. Are you seeing the prices at grocery stores lately? It feels like the numbers just keep going up. But listen, I don't sweat it because I use Upside. With the Upside app, I get cash back whenever I shop at giant locations, and you can too. It's easy. Simply download the free Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and start earning cash for buying the groceries you're already buying. And if you thought it couldn't get any better, my limited time promo code CHARM15 gets you an extra $10 bonus on your first purchase. You know what's wild? Family of four is spending $1,200 a month on groceries right now. I saw that number and thought there's got to be a smarter way to do it. And I found it. It's called Upside. Don't wait. Download the free Upside app now. Use my promo code CHARM15 to redeem your $10 bonus at any giant location. That's promo code CHARM15. Join the real people earning money just for buying groceries. Plus, you can cash out at any time to your bank account or e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. What are you waiting for? Let's do it. Download the free Upside app now. I command you now, using my limited time promo code CHARM15 for a $10 bonus on your first purchase at any giant location. Offers may vary by user and location. Go to Upside for terms and conditions.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Feature Arts Friday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. ELO, as chosen by the people. Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. Anything you want to hear from them, send a request to the Plaza Sport text line at 410-583-1057. Orioles split a doubleheader with the Astros. 10-3, Puffy Pantsing in the first game. Then they got Puffy Pantsed in the second game. One of the few blowouts that they've experienced. I mean, they've lost 16 games. Most of them have been of the close variety. In New York tonight, taking on the Yankees. Maybe Cade Povich. He's in New York with the team, as the Baltimore Banner was reporting, taking on Will Warren, who's 3-0 with a .259, throws hard, right-hander for New York, you know, one of the best teams in baseball right now. So we'll get into that as the show progresses. Talk about it with Rich Dubroff, as a matter of fact. And the Ravens bring back Calais Campbell. And next segment, Vinny, we'll get into the depth chart of the Baltimore team. Jonas Schaefer, as a matter of fact, Baltimore Banner joins us top of the hour. And Does Campbell come in because they're, well, they need depth, obviously, but there's a concern with Nnamdi Matabike. Me and Nolan were talking about it yesterday. Mm-hmm. Roderick Washington now becomes like, hey, dude, pooper, get off the pot. Calais comes back. Why? Right now.
I think for all those things, Bob, and well, we talked about it, you know, for the draft. They need a depth because you can't count on Broderick Washington, you know, so you can count on Travis Jones. That's the one that you can count, and Jenkins. But Jenkins is 37 years old, so, I mean, how, you know, how long is he going to stay healthy? And Aeneas Peebles is a situational-type guy. So run-stopping people, Travis Jones helps in that. Rashawn Benny helps stopping the run. Jenkins helps stopping the run. You know, so bringing in Calais can play on first down, second. Calais can play on third down because he's so tall, you know, and he bats balls down. Plus, how many kicks has he blocked, you know, from special teams and stuff? And he's just a good dude. And like you said, if you look at his stats, Bob, he's been productive, you know. So, I mean, he's smart enough to know that I still like playing and I still make plays and people want me, so I'm going to keep playing. So I don't blame the guy at all because he's still a good player.
And like you said, you know, Ravens tried to get him back.
Yeah, a couple of times.
It looked like they had a trade with the Dolphins a couple years ago and then McDaniel shut her down. But look at it, since Calais Campbell left the Ravens, which was after the 22 season, he had 6.5 sacks for Atlanta. 5 for the Dolphins, 6.5 for Arizona. So that's 6.5, that's 13. He's had 18 sacks in 3 years coming in, hopefully helping a team that was sack challenged. And I'm assuming we'll take 43 tackles and 6.5 sacks from a 40-year-old in a freaking RC. Yeah,
no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And I think the biggest thing is now you got a legitimate threat. You know, if you get Matabike back too, you know, and with Travis Jones, you know, you bring in Calais, and like you said, he's been averaging almost 6 sacks the last 3 years. So it only helps the outside guys, you know, because if Hendrickson can be singled, you know, because somebody's going to have to, if you got Matabike and you got Calais in there, and I think, you know, that they're going to use Zion Young over to guard some too. So, I mean, they've got a lot of guys that can go get the quarterback. And with the Chargers last year, they always dressed active 5 defensive tackles because they like to Jesse Minter, it seems like, likes to rotate those guys through. So if that's the case, you know, then some of those guys don't need to be playing 60 snaps. They only need to be playing like 40, and then you can, you know, keep your motor ramped up the whole time.
It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. If you want to get in and talk about Calais Campbell coming back to the nest, feel free to do so. Orioles going to May 1st with a losing record. Does that have you upset? I mean, would you have felt any better if they were 60-15, et cetera, et cetera? Let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. Rashawn, what is up?
What's going on, Bob and Vinny?
What, are you on the train?
No, not yet, man. We driving up this afternoon after we get off, probably like around 3 o'clock. So hopefully we beat traffic and make it to, make it to the game on time. You know how the New York traffic is, though.
You'll be all right.
You got to hit that Delaware traffic over the bridge there. Trust me, I've been there.
Yeah, we got to check in, man. You know, we got to check into that red roof. So, I mean, I was reading the reviews. Like, the only bad review I've seen was, like, you know, don't leave your valuables out. You know, like that.
So. is that all? Yeah. People steal from you?
Yeah, a little theft here and there. But listen, man, about these Orioles, though, like Brandon Young, right?
Don't leave your valuables.
You're like, does your car count?
Yeah, I told Dustin, man, his Jeep might be on bricks, man. By the time we leave, man, come back to the hotel, man. But Brandon Young, you know, it's his last couple starts. He's been trending the wrong way anyway. Like, he had a good start when he started against the White Sox. Didn't give up no earned runs.
Then got sent back to the minor leagues.
Yeah, then that Red Sox start, it wasn't too bad. He gave up, 3 earned runs. a couple hits.
Yeah, but he got big run support, and you know he could kind of coast. That's one of them games where you're up that big, just throw the ball down the middle and let your defense take care of things, which they didn't do yesterday.
Definitely didn't. But we're going to need people like him to step up, man. Like Brandon Young, Cade Povich, because our so-called, you know, aces, man, pitching like jokers, man, you know. So, the guy, McDermott, why did we trade him? Like, we will be developing pitchers.
He was their top pitching prospect 2-3 years ago. Obviously, I guess, Rashawn, he fell out of favor, and they unloaded him, and you know, I think his fastball velocity may have dipped a little bit because his K to walk rate was incredible a couple of years ago, but he just kind of fell off the map for sure.
Yeah, he does.
Now, Povich, look, they've got New York. They have Warren tonight, who's been good. Weathers has been really good, and he's had a couple of rough outings. Max Fried's one of the best pitchers in baseball. And Nolan's favorite guy, Cam Schlittler, he's outstanding too. So the Orioles' bats, as inconsistent as they've been, they're up against some pretty good starting pitching here with the Bronx.
Yeah, I definitely agree, Bob. And listen, if we can come out of here with a split 2-2, I'll be so happy with that. You know, so
take 2-2, split,
I consider a victory.
Go to Miami, handle your business, and then come back home. But the one thing that's been consistent about the Orioles, ladies and gentlemen, is us saying how inconsistent they are. That's the consistent that we talk about them being. Hey, stay out of trouble.
We're going to try, man, you know.
I'm anticipating video on FaceBase or at some point.
Hey, listen, Bob, we trying to get that Netflix deal, you know, the Dustin and Rashawn show. So, you know, more content, the better.
All right, man, be careful.
All right, man, have a good one.
All right, see you. There's Rashawn, everyone. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Featured Artist Friday, it's ELO. Anything you want to hear from them, we'll play it for you. But when we come back, talk about the Ravens depth chart. Post-draft, and now with Calais Campbell added to the equation, and more additions and subtractions will be coming our way. And rookie minicamp starts this weekend, too.
Today.
And then tomorrow it's open to the media for about a half an hour, sort of like a regular season.
Yeah.
Get a half hour, and then we'll have open locker room and all that good stuff. But Diego Pavia, part of the equation. We'll talk about him with Jonah Schaefer. Maybe not necessarily making the team, but at least joining Zion Young is two rookie guys popping off this weekend in Owings Mills.
What happens next happens here. Baltimore Sports Radio.
That ball is out of here.
105.7 The Fan.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Big Bad Morning Show, Vinny and Haney. Inside Access, live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Search Baltimore 105.7 The Fan. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you miss. 105.7 The Fan. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Joe LaCroix.
The Orioles split their doubleheader with the Astros on Thursday afternoon, winning Game 1 10-3 in loud fashion with grand slams from Adley Rutschman and Jeremiah Jackson and an impressive start from Chris Bassitt, who tossed 6 2/3 of one-run ball, earning his second win of the season. As for the second game of yesterday's doubleheader, well, that was a different story. The Astros crushed the Birds 11-5, jumping all over Baltimore's Brandon Young, tagging him for 10 runs in 4 innings. And though the defense did let him down, especially in a 5-run first, Young wasn't going to make excuses after the game.
It's one of those days. Got my butt kicked. Not much I can say. Yeah, it sucks. Thought I'd turn a page from last year, having these kind of blow-up outings. But, it's just disappointing to the team, like trying to go for the sweep and run a 5-0 hole at the first. Yeah, it's just really frustrating.
The O's are now 15-16 overall, and they had a 13-13 record in April. But they're heading up to New York tonight for a big series with the Yankees this weekend. And the Fan will have your pregame coverage for tonight's opener versus New York with Baltimore Baseball Tonight, presented by Jerry's Home Services, beginning at 6 p.m., leading you up to first pitch at 7. And one quick Ravens note, the team signed 40-year-old wonder Calais Campbell to a deal yesterday, bringing him back to Baltimore on a one-year contract worth $5.5 million. Your Friday forecast from the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center. Mostly sunny skies, highs in the mid-60s. This Fan Flash is sponsored by the Maryland Lottery. Play the exciting new Diamonds and Gold Scratch-Off and new Rose Gold Scratch-Off from the Maryland Lottery. You can win up to $2 million. Please play responsibly. I'm Joe LaCroix, Ravens Terps, and you're home for the most Orioles coverage. We are 105.7 The Fan.
The Vinny and Haney Show, sponsored by Valor Roofing. Trust your home to Valor.
Hunt will release the set. Oh, knocked away! That's a fumble! Fumble knocked it away! Recovered by Elway! It's a turnover! The first! And Baltimore will have the ball at the 25 of the Browns.
Kevin Harlan bringing the heat. ELO, Featured Artist Friday. Pick a song. Rock and Roll Hall of Famers will play it. Send a request. Plus for text line. 410-583-1057. And that was Kevin Harlan on CBS talking about Calais Campbell against the Browns back in 2022. Calais Campbell is now back for the Baltimore Ravens. And we're going to start talking to you about the depth chart here. Nolan, get in here as well. And you, the listener, at 410-583-1057. Now we look at the depth chart for Baltimore as we sit on May 1st. With rookie minicamp starting today, OTAs coming up about 3 weeks, schedule release in a couple of weeks, so we're kind of churning in that direction. Nnamdi Madubuike. So as we think about him now, do we think about him as an active participant for the 26 Ravens, or do we look at him as a bonus if he plays? Because even though he's been doing positive things, right, his doctor said he can play this year, I'm still going to view him as someone I don't see on the field September, whatever, against insert opponent here. So do we view Madubuike as a guy that we can count on, or someone that is still a giant question mark right now?
I would say, Bob, we like everything from the workout videos and all that, but he hadn't hit anybody yet. You know, so what you get from him, I'd count it as a bonus, because he could play 17 games, could play no games, he could play one game. You know, nobody knows. Even, I'm sure, Nnamdi's doctors probably don't even know. They probably have somewhat of an idea that it should hold up with, I'm guessing that they think it's definitely going to hold up with contact, but you never know. So I would say that whatever we get out of Nnamdi, it's a bonus. And if we get him, you know, a healthy Nnamdi for the whole time, it's really going to improve the defense. So I would say don't put him like in a separate category.
What do you think, Nolan? We were talking about it a little bit yesterday, Nnamdi Madubuike. If you were betting money on his availability for week one, you would bet what right now?
I mean, I feel pretty confident in it. You know, this whole time, right, when he's been doing the social media stuff, right, for a guy who's never really active on social media to feel the need to put that stuff out there. Hey, I'm working out. Hey, I'm doing this. Even if it was short and kind of typical young athlete stuff where it's more emojis and speculation than certainty, it was still something. I think it was noteworthy for him. My whole point was, why would you be doing all this stuff if you knew that your career was over, right? So it still is. There's still a hurdle to get over, right? I mean, just because he's been cleared doesn't mean that you're, you know, 100% mentally past it. You know, that's a big hurdle for sure. And it is something that is, I'm sure, prone to re-aggravation, you know, and any little tweak or twinge from here on out could scare you for good. So we'll see. I think he'll be ready to go, but how long he stays after that remains to be seen. But as far as him being there week one, I feel very good.
Broderick Washington had Achilles surgery last year, and the Ravens paid him a couple seasons ago. Since then, you know, the production has been rather limited. Last year, played 3 games, had 4 tackles, no sacks. The previous couple of years, let's see, 22, he played 17 games. Remember, he's a fifth-round pick out of Texas Tech back in 2020. 2022, 49 tackles, a sack, 23 in 16 games, 18 tackles, 2 sacks, 24, 15 games, 21 tackles, 2 sacks last year, 3 games, 4 tackles, nothing. What? He might be more unknown than Nnamdi Madubuike right now. Healthier, we assume.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he should be ready to go, and he's got to show some production. He's got to show the ability to stay healthy, number one, and they need him for the rotation. Let me go back to Madubuike one quick thing. I don't know. Bob, I don't think we're going to know really till the first game because I don't think he's going to have a ton of contact. He's not playing in any preseason games. You know, so when is he going to get any real game-like stuff? It might not be till the first game. So I just wanted to say that. So we're back to Broderick Washington. You know, he has started. Do I want him to be my starter? Not really. I want him to be in the rotation. I'd rather have Calais Campbell, you know, being my starter and Broderick Washington being one of the rotational pieces.
Travis Jones. Now, he got paid.
Yep.
Coming off a career season. Kind of goes hand in hand, doesn't it? Sometimes. 16 games, 47 tackles, 5 sacks. Second or third round pick out of UConn back in 22. And we talked about it when the Ravens drafted him. Part of that draft class with Kyle Hamilton and Linderbaum and others. When he played at UConn, they stunk. He played in a lot of losing games and played a lot of snaps in those losses. And they were and not only losing, they were getting thumped back in that era here. But he has kind of ascended up the ladder. And Vinny, if memory serves, you liked him when you saw him at rookie camp. You liked him during training camp. Never really showed a lot of consistency, I guess. He's had some tweakage, nothing severe injury-wise, but some things.
Ankle.
That may have limited him a little bit, but we saw him last year, and, you know, he busted out.
Yeah, and I would think that, and maybe he doesn't have to play as much, or maybe you want him to play 60 snaps, but if you can cut him down to 40 snaps, you know, does that improve his game? Or, you know, playing a lot? Because that... The biggest thing at Connecticut was he had to play like 80 snaps every game, and he, you know, and then
and they were losing 40-3,
right? And then he'd be wearing out. So he can play the run. He's really good playing the run, and he's got some pass rush stuff. So he's a guy that you can win with and that you can count on. I know that, and I like him as a player. So do they. Otherwise, they wouldn't have paid him, and they paid him at the right time. So with Travis Jones, I mean, that's the first guy, put Matabike to the side. Travis Jones is definitely a keeper, starter, one that you want lining up for you. More so than Broderick Washington you want in the rotation. Travis, you want him to be a starter and play, you know, as much as he can.
What are we doing with John Jenkins? Ravens extended him, and first time in his career he got that, so congratulations to him. Will be 37 years old in July.
Yeah, that's another rotational piece, Bob. That is a run piece. You know, big body. You know, kind of like a Michael Pierce kind of thing. You know, big body. Help stop the run. And he had a hell of a year. And they gave him a 2-year deal. So I like him as a run-stopping player. I think, you know, number one thing, you got to be able to stop the run. I think they have some run stoppers.
You liked Rashawn Benny, who they picked in the seventh round. Aeneas Peebles coming into his second year. What are you thinking about him right now?
Yeah, with Peebles is not going to help the run game. Unless you're just going to penetrate him. You're just going to line him up on the edge and you take off, you penetrate. Because he's not going to be able to stay in there and stack because of his size, like 5'11". But if you put him on the edge and let him get upfield... Yeah, he can be productive for you because he's got real good initial quickness. So he's a guy that maybe in certain situations, you know, you can have him in the run if you want to get people up the field. But you're staying and you've got some real good stay-in and stack guys. That's your Travis Jones and your Broderick Washington. Rashawn Benny is that, you know, stay-in and stack, two-gap kind of guy. Whereas Peoples is a chess piece, Bob, that put him on the edge and let him go. Now, you probably don't want him play, you know, maybe 15 snaps a game.
It's 5-7 The Fan. When we come back, talk more about the Ravens' depth chart. We'll talk about the secondary and the linebackers as time permits. Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner, preview rookie camp with him coming up at 11 o'clock, whip around 11:15, NBA and Stanley Cup playoffs very much underway. A couple of team seasons came to ends last night in both sports. Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com, talk about the Orioles, who split the doubleheader with Houston. They blew them out in the first game, got blown out. Second game now to go to New York taking on the Yankees. Four-game series, BBT coming up tonight at 6. Vinny Hedy, Nolan, featured artist Friday. It's ELO here on 105.7 The Fan.
After Vinny and Haney, it's Inside Access.
Football heavy show. Femi Iambadeja, former Raven, will be in studio with us. Mike Silver was in the Ravens draft room during the draft. He'll give us the sights and sounds from the draft room. And Charles Davis, he's from NFL.com. What did he think of the Ravens draft? He'll tell us.
Next on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan. This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
Those that are talking about tearing it down are probably jumping the gun, but it's worth asking the question after a first-round exit. Can the Denver Nuggets win another title with this core? Nikola Jokic is 31. Aaron Gordon, 31. Jamal Murray will be in his 30s before their next playoff game. It's been 3 years since their championship run, and they've had just one other trip to the conference finals in the Jokic era, which was in the bubble 6 years ago. I'm Chris Mack.
Serrano, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, featured artist Friday, ELO. Anything you want to hear from the Rock and Roll Hall of Famers? Nolan's over there bobbing his head. He's digging it. Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner. Talking about the Ravens, rookie minicamp coming up today. And through the weekend, there will be a half hour to film things, and then it'll be open locker room after Jesse Minter will meet with the media, so we'll have that coming your way when we reconvene on Monday. But let's go to outside linebacker real quick as we talk depth chart. Trey Hendrickson comes in. Injury-plagued, drama-filled last year with the Bengals. 2025 salary problemos there, holding out. He's now in Baltimore. What Trey Hendrickson, if you had to predict now, and I guess you do because I'm asking, 17 sacks the two previous years, what's a good Trey Hendrickson year for the 26 Ravens?
I think anything between 11 and 17. I think anything between 11. I think, Bob, that he's there every day now. I think the Ravens are getting the best Trey Hendrickson that we've seen in a couple of years because he's highly, highly motivated. You know, he's in great shape. He's going to be ready to go. And he's a pass rusher, somewhat of a liability against the run. You know, I think I see Tavius Robinson, you know, kind of playing the run stuff. Yeah. Early on, and then Hendrickson coming in and rushing situation. The problem, you know, Mike Green is kind of similar to that too. He's not the run guy right now either.
Yeah, and you know, Max Crosby could set the edge and be a three down guy. Yeah. So Nolan, we were talking about a little bit yesterday, you and I, with Trey Hendrickson. I said 12 sacks, and Vinny, you said 11 to 17. I think 12 would be acceptable. If it's less than double digits, are we going Craig Albernez talking about the Orioles' second game of the doubleheader defense? Unacceptable.
Well, if he's going under that, he's missing significant time. That's just the only way or the only reasonable explanation. If he's going to fall off a cliff that much in his production without, I mean, I know he had the injury, but still, my God, that would be quite the shock here and certainly detrimental to the Ravens. Even with the fact that he's coming off the field a decent bit, right? You know, maybe more so than some of his fellow pass rushers in the league. The results have always been there. And one of the things, or maybe the best thing you could say about Trey Hendrickson is that he does more with less opportunity, right? It goes both ways. It means he's also a bit of a liability against the run, or not as great against the run as some of the more well-rounded guys on the edge are. But they brought him here and they paid him to get after the quarterback. And that's what he's going to do.
I agree. And here's, like, he can have, you know, 11, 12 sacks as long as Mike Green's at 8. You know, like, they're ranked, like, in second in sacks, sure, or first
like
in sacks.
Like the 23 and 24 team.
Yes. Were. Yes. Where, like, be, just do what Van Oy, you know, what do you have, 12 or 11? Kind of, and even Clowney had, like, 10, you know. So, if they can be first or second in sacks, and he's got 12. Green's got 8. Zion Young's got 5 or 6. Calais has his 5. You know, and if Matabike's there, he's got his 8. Travis Jones got 4 or 5. And you know Kyle Hamilton's going to have 3 or 4. You know, so if they're all working, great. But if Hendrickson's getting doubled and nobody else is getting anything, then they're in trouble.
It's Vinny at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. We'll talk about that subject and more. So based on potential, the Ravens should lead the NFL in sacks in 2026. Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Batter, is going to be joining us. Talk about rookie minicamp, what that's going to entail, and talk about the schedule release coming up in a couple of weeks. And how many prime time games might the Ravens get with a losing record? They've got a marquee player in Lamar Jackson, but you know, just looking at the home schedule, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Chargers, Jacksonville, where's the prime time fun for Baltimore this year?
Wherever the Orioles season takes you.
Say goodbye to this ball.
Download the free Odyssey app and hear reactions to all the biggest moments. Download it today and search 105.7 The Fan.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.